Welcome to After Dark, Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Want to welcome all of our listeners, first-time listeners, and our always dedicated listeners that tune in every night to listen to our take on current events. My co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, Rob. How about you?
Good, good. First of all, I want to wish you a happy Passover. Tonight is Passover. Heather, tell our listeners, give us a little bit about Passover. What does it mean to you and what generally takes place?
Sure. Well, Passover is the festival of freedom in Judaism. It's one of our most important holidays, a very ancient holiday, and it commemorates the Exodus, which Christians will know is the second book in the Old Testament, what we call the Hebrew Bible, which tells the story of the enslavement of the Jews in ancient Egypt for 400 years. And the God's eventual manumission, his helping to save and release and bring the Jews from bondage via his emissary on earth was Moses. But it's a story of moving from slavery to freedom. It's a story of the struggle to do that. The many years of pain and suffering are commemorated, as is the courage that Moses had to find, and that all the children of Israel, the Israelites, that they all had to find to move from bondage to freedom. When you think about it that way, I never quite thought about it this way before, but it's not exactly like, I mean, God does do miracles, as we know in the story, and those of us who are familiar with the story, essentially sends, well, first he calls upon Moses to, you know, who has been taken in, adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter, I believe, who found him, you know. The story starts when the Egyptian leader declares that all the Jews, that the firstborn son of every Jewish family be sacrificed, be killed, because he was afraid of a slave rebellion. And in this horror that was happening, Moses' mother put him in a little basket in the Sea of Reeds and sent him along. And he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, who saw this adorable baby and took him in and raised him as a Pharaoh, as a prince of Egypt. But he eventually learns true identity. So it's a coming of age story too, and a story about who am I? Moses has to confront the evil of slavery. He's kind of like the biblical Abraham Lincoln in that way. And we know that Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. He would not let the Jews go. And so it's a story of how evil can be very stubborn and unyielding, and even in the face of the miracles which God sent, the plagues. And it's a real fire and brimstone story too, Rob. I mean, maybe that's part of where that expression comes from. You know, when God is confronted with this stubborn evil, he has Moses warn Pharaoh and tell him, and the plagues just keep coming and getting worse and worse. You know, frogs, boils, blood, all the water turns to blood, and it gets worse and worse. And eventually, because Pharaoh will not yield, it's the death of the Egyptian firstborn. So it's a story of very harsh punishment of evil and what is required sometimes for evil to give way to something better. So anyway, I didn't know if you wanted me to tell the whole story, but Jewish families have what we call a Seder, which is a ritual meal where we have a circular plate with objects that symbolize different parts of this story. There's, salt water for the tears the slaves shed. There's something called haroset, which is a dish made of like walnuts and honey and apples, which is supposed to represent the mortar or the cement that they had to use to build the pyramids as slaves. There's an egg, which represents fertility and our future, and the shank bone. And there's all these different, it's actually kind of, it looks kind of voodoo-ish and you know, like very old and ancient. It's like this circular plate with these symbols. And, you know, it's a teaching a moment too, because you're supposed to tell the story. You're commanded as a Jew to tell the story every year as if you yourself were delivered from bondage, so that you shouldn't be so comfortable or complacent, I guess. But when you think about it, you know, there's a new meaning for it, for me, in it this year, because maybe part of what it's about is that there will always be hardship and suffering. This is part of the human condition, and God doesn't promise us that we won't suffer, but he does promise us that he will bring us through. And I think that's what it's about. And incidentally, a lot of people believe that Jesus's Last Supper, you know, Jesus was a Jew and, you know, he was a rabbi, that before, you know, the horrible, you know, what happened, you know, and the Romans were abusing Jews at that time, you know, and we know Jesus was crucified. And a lot of people believe that the Last Supper was a Passover Seder. And indeed, you know, the Passover is one of our oldest holidays. So, you know, Jesus as a Jew would have celebrated it at that time of the Roman Empire.
And also, Heather, usually Passover and Easter, which is a very sacred, holy holiday for Christians, we mark the resurrection of Jesus. They usually take place kind of like one after the other,
right,
or at the same time.
Right.
This year, however,
yes,
right, it did, and I was surprised. But in listening to you tell the story or explain to our listeners about it, I'm sure many of them are aware, but I like to, it's worth repeating, because as they say, when you repeat history, you're doomed to repeat it. And as you mentioned, you know, it's almost like expected for Jewish individuals to recap the story so that people don't forget it. And I look at today, what's happening, fast forward to today, and we look at all the anti-Semitism that's taking place in our country. And at one point, yes, you could say that it was done sort of in a undercover type way, and people would deny it. But now, 2024, on our college campuses, and even in a lot of our large cities, definitely the blue cities, blue states, we see anti-Semitism wide open on display. There is no shame. We have a president who seems to be kowtowing to Iran and to Hamas. And we've spoken about this before on our show a few weeks ago. And after that, we've constantly had a show about just giving our listeners an update about the conflict between Hamas and Israel. Fast forward to this past weekend, and we saw on the Ivy League University of Columbia, a group of students openly saying that they support Hamas and that Columbia should divest itself of any business dealings with Israel. This was openly being done. They weren't trying to be clandestine about it. They were openly saying this. They were setting fires. They were protesting. They even set up camp on the grounds at Columbia, similar to Occupy Wall Street about 12 years ago. And in that group, we learned that the representative, Ilhan Omar's daughter, was part of this vicious, evil protest. Now, they were all arrested. I think it was about 100 of them arrested. And then they were set free. This is a threat to our democracy. This is not good. Go ahead.
Well, you know, did you hear, Rob, that the head rabbi at Columbia University told the students that he's concerned for their safety, and the Jewish students thinks they should go home. He doesn't even think they're safe on campus.
That's horrible.
He announced that, I think, yesterday.
We're all for free speech, but it crosses a line when it clearly becomes hate speech. And we have seen that for the past 4 years, even when the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump, was in office, people openly said that someone should shoot him. You had Maxine Waters during an award ceremony. I think it was the ceremony for the NAACP. She said that she felt so empowered that she would go to the White House and take him out. We had Madonna days after the election of Donald Trump to come out and say that she has had thoughts of going to the White House and assassinating Trump. You've had Johnny Depp to insinuate when was the last time someone killed a president. We see this over and over again. These actions called to arm by the left, by Democrats, and nothing is done. We saw the Supreme Court justices. We saw protesters outside their homes threatening them, trying to get them to change their opinion on abortion after it was leaked. Now, we know that the media knows who leaked it. We know that Joe Biden's Department of Justice knows who leaked it, but they won't say anything. John Roberts probably knows who leaked it, but he's also compromised because he's afraid. They have put fear in the hearts of many individuals that they sit back and they watch this. Well, Heather, at some point, people have to take a stand. You have to stand up for what's right. And that's what our country is about. You look at during the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War. People looked at it and say that someone has got to stand up. What's happening is wrong. People put their lives on the line so that you and I could have the freedom that we have today. And somehow, Democrats, who are constantly talking about democracy dying in the dark, have taken democracy and put it in the dark, and it's forcing democracy in the dark. And unless you agree with them, you're on the wrong side. And we need to stand up. We need to push back. We need to have our voices heard. That sham of a trial that's taking place right now in Lower Manhattan with Judge Marchand sitting at the bench. Every legal scholar knows that it is a sham. Every legal scholar knows that Alvin Bragg put together a made-up crime. He took a misdemeanor that was beyond the expiration. It had already expired, and he elevated it and made it a felony. And even in doing so, he was still out of his domain because only the federal judges or federal court can look at this. Why aren't people calling it out? They're afraid. The same way they're not calling out what is happening on our college campuses, this anti-Semitism. And as I said, Ilhan Omar, we rescued her from a crappy hold country in Africa. We brought her here for a better life. We rescued the family of Rashida Tlaib for a better life, only for them to come here and to bite the hand that feeds them. And now people are afraid to call them out. Well, they will continue to be elected to Congress because if you go and look at their district, you will see that their district is made up of, some of them are legal immigrants because we help them come here. And then some are illegal aliens that are crossing through the borders right now. We cannot sugarcoat this, because we've been sugarcoating this too long. There is a threat to democracy, and it is by the Democrats. There is a threat to our very survival, and it is because of Joe Biden and his Department of Justice have been weaponized against the American citizens. And it is time that we stand up and call it out. And we're constantly saying stand up. I don't know what Republicans are doing, but they are allowing this to happen. They were allowing these radicals to gain hope. They're here now. These illegals are here. Stop calling them undocumented. Stop saying that they're immigrants. Stop saying that we are all immigrants. We know that. But that book was long shut after Ellis Island. We now have laws to say if you're going to come here, you have to come here legally.
You know, even at the time of Ellis Island, a lot of good people were sent back. Not because they didn't fill out all their papers, just because they had an eye disease, you know, they had trachoma, or they didn't have somebody to sponsor them. I mean, the days of the Ellis Island, it wasn't like everybody got to pour in here. A lot of good people got sent back, not because they were criminals. I mean, you even if you followed all the procedures and you filled out all the papers and you waited your turn, you know, you really needed... My understanding is, you know, in general, you needed to have someone to sponsor you. You needed to be disease free. You needed to have followed the protocol. I mean, There were criteria that you had to meet, because even then, I mean, there was a lot of need for labor and an open kind of heart for the immigrant. But those immigrants, they went through a lot, frankly, a lot more than these people are going through. I mean, they were put through a lot worse, and they followed, the procedures, and even then they didn't always gain entry to America. So, I mean, this is a kind of basically like an open sort of thing. And I mean, you can love that the country has embraced immigrants and that's part of our ethos. But even in those days, I mean, there was a procedure, there were rules, and sometimes they were pretty harsh.
And that is the reason why we've got to stop allowing the left to say, well, we want to shut the border. We've got to stop allowing them to say that we're racist. They know that if they use it, it will shut everything down. But you have these poor individuals on college campuses wanting to learn, wanting to study. And now this radical arm, progressive arm of the Democrat Party is going after them. And I agree with the rabbi. They should be fearful for their lives, because we know right now that our local law enforcement won't be allowed to protect them. They will protect the ones who are doing all of the harm. They will protect the radicals. Ilhan Omar's daughter should be rounded up. We should look at her passport, and if she's here illegally, or even if she's trying to wait and get her green card, send her back to Africa. Send the whole lot of them back. Why are they here turning the United States of America into a breeding ground for terrorists? I mean, on some of you first-time listeners, you're probably thinking, oh, no, you're just talking. No, I'm not. You go look at Michigan. You go look at a lot of these flyover states, and you will see that there are pockets of radical Muslims. Now, I'm sure that there are some peaceful Muslims, peaceful followers of Allah. Okay? Let's just put that out there. But then you have the Rashida Tlaibs and Ilhan Omar. They are two women. We're going to allow those two women to destroy our country, to destroy who we are, to run off these Jewish students, simply because Hamas decided to poke the bear on October 7th and they're getting their butts handed to them by Israel. Israel needs to stop playing around. Level the whole place. Just level it and get it over with. Because it's a no-win situation at this point. No matter what they do, no matter how careful they try not to make certain that there aren't too many lives that are lost, it's not going to matter. Because at this point, they're losing the propaganda war, as your dear friend who came on, Sammy, and told us. We're up against a commercial break, but we're going to pick this up, this lie and the destruction of democracy by Joe Biden's Democrat Party. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
And we're back for the second half of the show. And before I get started, I want to encourage you all to go to americaoutloud.shop. We have a lot of interesting products there, health products. We have books that are there. So please go over, take a look, and feel free to shop on americaoutloud.shop. Now, we're going to commercial break. I was saying how we need to start calling out the sham that Biden is putting forth. This is his champagne. That's what I'm going to call it. It's a champagne by Biden. He's calling it a campaign, but it's a complete sham. And we have to be aware as to what is happening here. And one of the things that's happening is that they are playing on the sympathies of the weak to push through their agenda. As Heather and I've said before, I've said about the Black people here in America need to stop giving their votes to Democrats because they haven't helped them out. The only thing they have done is to destroy the Black family. And this started back under Johnson with the Great Society, all the social programs. Social programs are good. People need them. You need to help take care of your people. But the extent that they have decimated the Black family, you have people that are living off of it, it has become a lifeline. That's ridiculous. It has to stop. And now they're doing the exact same thing with the illegals that are coming here. They're giving them money because they're thinking if we give them money, they'll learn to like us and they'll vote for us if we're ever able to make them citizens, or if we're able to cheat, or if we're able to get some judge like Judge Marchand who will say, oh, let them vote. They're here. Why can't they vote? They've got a right to vote. Do not doubt me when I say this. I know what the Constitution says. I know the Constitution says you have to be an American citizen, but you look at California, look at what Gavin Newsom is doing. He is trying to water down the vote of Americans, something that many of us fought hard for. Women fought hard for it. Black people fought hard for the right to vote. And now you're going to let someone like Gavin Newsom or the Biden administration to take it from you, to dilute your vote and allow illegals to come here and vote? This is a complete sham. We've got to wake up and we've got to start pushing back. Stop allowing them to scare you with this is racism, you're a sexism, and you're a homophobe. Stop allowing it. We need to shut this down now. Shut it down. And it all took its genesis after George Floyd and COVID. They locked us down. They pushed this fake narrative about George Floyd. What happened to George Floyd? Should it have happened? Okay, let's just be clear. But this whole thing that he was an innocent man, he was a saint. George Floyd was a two-bit porn criminal. He held a gun to the stomach of a pregnant woman. Okay, let's just be honest. Okay, he's no saint. And why they want to elevate him the same way as to Martin Luther King, it is deception. They're trying to deceive you. They're playing on your emotions, and they're definitely playing on the emotions of Black women, it's time to wake up. They're playing on the emotion of the Jewish people. It's time to wake up because when you sleep, look at what's happening at Columbia University. They let them go. They will come back and they will do it again and again. And here's the thing that's interesting, because while this was shaping up at the University of Columbia, you had the president of Columbia testifying before the House. They asked a question, is there anti-Semitism on the campus? First, it was Ilhan Omar asking her the question. And she said, Madam President, is there anti-Semitism? And she said, no, just answer the question, yes or no. And the crazy president said, oh no, there's no anti-Semitism. And then I think it was Representative Stefanik. She asked the same question. You want to tell me everything that we've been seeing up until today isn't anti-Semitism? Well, they weren't saying to kill the Jew. It was free. No. And then after that, look at what happened. They tried to take over the university. And then Columbia's, I think it was their internal law enforcement called the police and said, we need to arrest these individuals because it's getting out of control. They might burn down the whole place. And that's probably what they wanted to do. And who do we find in the mix? Representative Ilhan Omar's daughter. Lock her up, send her back. We don't want her here. She's not welcome. They're not welcome. I will say it. If you're radical, you're not welcome. Go back to where you came from. No, that's not being racist. No, that's not being a xenophobe. It's wanting to protect our own, protect Americans. If you don't like America, get the hell out. Plain and simple. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I was going to weigh in on, I know it's going into the past, but, you know, I hear you as far as George Floyd and, you know, your assessment is very accurate. However, I will acknowledge that I don't think it was about who he was and what his character was. I did understand why people were outraged. It was because that police officer wasn't judge, jury, and executioner to decide the fate of anybody that way, to have someone killed in that way. So, you know, I think that the initial outrage was understandable, and it highlighted a real problem that was about that an individual police officer doesn't have the right to take a life, not so much what the character of that individual was. And of course, George Floyd had a criminal past. He was kind of a problem person, but I think at that time he wasn't engaged in violence, and you know, that police officer didn't necessarily know all of that history. So, but anyway, I mean, the larger points, I mean, I certainly agree. And the thing that I really have struggled with is that violence is, being invoked in order to argue against excessive violence. I mean, that I think is really the problem with what went on. And, if political violence is wrong for one side, it's wrong for both sides. And, you know, you're in a situation like Israel's or something when somebody's all out war, torturing, killing, targeting your people for extermination, that, you know, that's war. You've got no choice. But, you know, short of that, I'm very anti-violence, you know, whoever's doing it. In terms of the Columbia University situation, I think that it's tricky because, you know, we do have free speech in this country. And, I guess we know people get very hypocritical about this. I mean, the same people who say that those students should have the right to say I'm with Hamas and not be dragged off, you know, want Donald Trump in chains because he said, you know, go peacefully and fight like hell. I mean, you know, the problem is, who gets to decide what is hate speech and what is an arrestable offense? I mean, that said, I think that creating a hostile environment for other students, exercising your speech rights to the point that other people feel they can't even be safe, you know, I mean, I think that that's pushing it. And we know the reality is there is no absolute free speech on campus. Liberals did away with that a long time ago. So by their own standards, they should expel these students. We know, to give you an example, if those pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas students who are intimidating Jewish students, if they were white pro-KKK students screaming at Black students on campus, making them feel intimidated to walk across the campus, do you really think that Columbia and the NYPD would tolerate that?
Absolutely not. They would shut it down.
Right. So like, there has to be consistency. If you're not going to operate colleges as, you know, from the principle of free speech absolutism, which is absolutely not been the case for decades now, we know, to the point where, you know, students have been you know, kicked out for saying something that, you know, somebody took offense to, and, you know, it was just a single incident or something, and professors have lost their careers over things like that. So, I mean, you don't have true free speech on campus. And so this is just, yeah, it's complete hypocrisy. Columbia should put a stop to it. They should not, you know, I mean, they should not have a climate where students cannot feel safe. And if, you know, if that means physically removing some of these kids, then I think that's what should happen.
And it
I mean, these people who are openly affiliating with a terrorist organization.
Well, it should happen right away. I mean, because they're coming out and they're saying that they support Hamas. It's like, yes, we support Hamas. Now, they don't know the depth of who Hamas is. To them, it's just, it's cool to do it.
Well, but I think that everybody knows there was a massacre, a sadistic massacre of thousands of civilians, and that the perpetrators filmed it and bragged about it and posted it to TikTok. So I'm going to disagree with you there. I think they know. I mean,
well,
if they're alive, they know.
Well, guess what? I'm going to agree with you because I do think they know. I'm just being facetious that they don't know. Yes, they know, but they don't care. And you know why? Because that's the atmosphere that we're in. The media have given them the okay to act out like this. So they're going to do it. And we saw this happening. We saw this taking shape months ago when it first started. You had them saying, oh, Israel, please cease fire and don't do this. And you can't. Israel didn't poke the big bear. Hamas did. Israel, they did this. Israel, on October 7th, people got up to do what they would normally do. Some people were going to go to a concert. And out of the blue, there was an attack. And then Israel said, we're going to fight back. This is for our very existence. And I would say to Israel again at this point, go ahead and unleash all out war of wars. Just demolish them completely. That is the only resolution. You can't wait. The longer they wait, people will start to change their minds. And as I said, when we were ending the first block, they are winning, they being Hamas, the propaganda war. And this is all Iran wants. Iran, just a week ago, 300 drones fired into Israel. Israel retaliated. Okay, and what did Iran say? Oh, we're done. We're not going to say anything about it. This is probably some misfire. Now, we don't know what exactly Israel hit, what targets there were. But now Iran is going to pretend as if though it didn't exist. But you still have these individuals here, Heather, that are protesting. And I think you mentioned to me when we were doing some of the pre-work that there was a young Jewish student who I think was poked in the eye on the campus of Yale University. Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Yes. So I just saw the story that there was a young Jewish student poked in the eye with a Palestinian flag at Yale. I just saw the headline. It was on Fox. I don't know much else, but it's horrible.
That's horrible. And we will continue to see this. And as I've said before, as I've said to my Black brothers and sisters, you got to stop voting for Democrats. I will say it again to my Jewish brothers and sisters. You've got to stop voting for Democrats. They don't mean you any good. I know that some of them will look at what Biden did when they shot down with different allies, shot down the 300 drones. That's meaningless to me. It doesn't matter. This is all smoke screens and mirrors. He's only trying to do this so that he will get your vote. He does not care. The Secretary of State does not care. I know those are harsh words, but as we said before, when they show you who they are, as Maya Angelou once said, believe them. Believe them.
Oh,
there's only a small fraction. But let me say this. There's only a small fraction of Muslims in Michigan and Minnesota. Why is Biden trying to placate to their needs? Because he does not care about the Jewish community, because he knows they're going to vote for me regardless as to what I do and say. The same thing with Black voters. Regardless as to what he do, regardless of the fact that he's taking these illegals and dumping them into our communities, regardless of the fact that they're suppressing our wages so that Black men can't work, Black women can't work, regardless of the fact that they're overpopulating these schools in these areas. They don't care, regardless of the fact that they keep saying, we're going to give Black people reparations, but we've got to study it. But they're going to give these illegals reparations and then some and continue to do it. They don't care. It is a harsh reality, but we have to accept it. They just don't give a damn. And I hate saying that, but they don't. I mean, I don't know how many ways to say it. They just don't care, folks, because they know, hey, we have gotten them to vote for us all these years, so it doesn't matter. They're going to vote for us again. We'll just give them a little something. We'll rub their heads like a little puppy dog, and they will keep coming back, and they'll vote for us. But in the meantime, we're going to cater to the illegals, which is going to adversely affect Black people. We're going to cater to Hamas, which will adversely affect the Jewish community here. I don't know what else to say, Heather. Go ahead. You can disagree. That's fine.
I don't disagree. The details on this, a Jewish Yale University student journalist reporting on an anti-Israeli protest at the Ivy League school Saturday night was stabbed in the eye with a Palestinian flag while her assailant has gone unpunished. Sahar Tartar, editor-in-chief of the Yale Free Press, was covering the protest, which saw hundreds of students camping at the campus in support of Palestinians, when she was suddenly surrounded by demonstrators. She and a friend were singled out for wearing Hasidic Jewish attire as the crowd formed a blockade around them to interfere with their filming. There's hundreds of people taunting me and waving the middle finger at me, and then this person waves a Palestinian flag in my face and jabs it in my eye, Tartak told the New York Post. Oh, my. When I tried to yell and go after him,
they don't care.
So that's from the New York Post.
They just don't care. And the only way they will wake up and start caring is if we stop voting for them. We have to take it to them with the vote. We have to show them, no, you need to address our needs. This is not fair. All lives matter.
Yeah, she said she tried to report the assault to campus police, but they told her there was nothing they could do. Instead, she got an ambulance ride to the hospital. Can you imagine that there's nothing they can do?
But I'll tell you this, had this been a Black woman, they would have all come out. They would be protesting, saying this is not fair, this is racism, making Black people the victims again. All lives matter.
Well, in that case, they would be. I mean, look, you, of course, all lives matter, and justice should be blind, and we should all strive for that. And these great universal values that it took the world so many millennia to inch its way to embracing are just being torn apart by these very reductionist, ignorant, prejudiced people, hypocrites, who in the name of progressivism are dragging us back to a place where you can make assumptions about people based on how they look and what group they're from, and you can mob them and gang up on them, and that's justice. It's terrible, Rob. You know,
we don't want that. No. Now we're up against another commercial break, but we're going to pick this up on the other side, because as I said before, if you don't like America, get out. Just get out. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
The You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The last half of After Dark on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I want to encourage you guys that when this goes up, the podcast, definitely tune in and look for it on America Out Loud Podcast Network, where you can find not only this particular podcast that will be up, but all of our previous podcasts, whereby we have dissected and given analysis on this conflict that's taking place right now in Israel. So we want to start this segment off talking about the package that was recently voted for by the House of Representatives. It's now going to the Senate. Now, the only thing I'll say about it, because Hillary, I know that you have some strong opinions, is that a lot of people are saying that Mike Johnson, what is he doing? Why is he agreeing with the Democrats? And the Democrats joined in with Republicans to get this thing passed. And you now have some Republicans saying, well, we're going to vote to vacate the speakership. You don't have time for that right now. Okay, let me just tell you, as a voting Republican, don't do it. We don't have time for those games. It's not the best bill. I understand it. But elections have consequences. What you should be focusing on right now is make certain that we gain the House and the Senate come this election cycle. I know it's not the best bill. I don't like it because I don't want us to give any money to Ukraine. I don't like this giving money to Ukraine. I don't like the fact that there's no provisions in it for our border. And I doubt if they have provisions that all of the Republicans would get on it. And you know the Democrats aren't going to get on it. So what does that show you? These Democrats don't care. Now, I'm sure that there are some Democrats that are saying, we really do need to protect our border. But they're not going to say anything. You know why? Because they want Republicans to look as if though they are the party of confusion. So they will join in and say, well, we don't like it, but why not go ahead and vote for it? Because even if we were to vote against it, it's still going to pass. You see, Republicans don't think that way. They go in and say, I don't care. I don't care if it's not going to pass. I'm going to still vote against it. I want folks to know. And then we're going to vacate the speakership. And do what? Give it to Hakeem Jeffries? You guys got to wake up. You need to wake up. I don't want money going to Ukraine. I want our border protected. But at this stage of the game, we just got to go with it and make certain that we win the election, because there are too many battles right now we need to fight. This is not the hill to die on. Heather, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you, Rob. I think that I do understand Marjorie Taylor Greene's concerns, I think, and others, that our border comes first. And that's true, but I mean, Israel is our closest ally, probably, you know, along with Great Britain. They are under true siege. This is not an optional war for them. This is a battle for survival, and it really is. I mean, when it comes to Russia, Ukraine, you know, I have some different views than a lot of people do. I don't think it's as perfectly clear cut. I think that it's long past time for a negotiated settlement, particularly because I think people of reason understand that that's what it's going to come to eventually anyway. You know, Russia's invasion was awful, but they're not trying to destroy Ukraine. This is not really what it's about. It's about borders and power and wanting to reconstitute the Russian Empire. This is not a genocide. It's not, whereas Israel's enemies are genocidal. They have declared again and again, Iran, their intent to wipe Israel off the map, kill everyone. We saw the butchery that the Hamas committed October 7th, filmed and bragged about. I mean, this is another level, okay? This is, they would commit genocide in a second if they could. This is not, you know, this is black and white. It's as black and white as World War II was, and Israel's our strongest ally. You know, we cannot deny them basic money to defend themselves, which is all that's about, you know? And so I felt that on balance, even though I'm skeptical too of the Ukraine policy, you know, for various reasons, you know, I think it would have been much better to stay out of that one, but we're in it now. And, you know, I think that on balance, you can't just hold up the whole government, you know, it's too dangerous. So, you know, I think that the, you know, the bill, I guess, another good thing about it, by the way, is that the bill did specify no money for UNRWA, which is basically a terrorist mill that masquerades as a school. So, you know, I think our country and government are wising up to ways to try to monitor these monies, you know, American taxpayer dollars. So I was glad to see that. I mean, Ukraine is getting almost three times as much as Israel is. I don't agree with that. And I do think there should be more done for our border. But for the sake of Israel and for the sake of our alliance with Israel, I had to, you know, support it, Rob.
Well, I don't like the fact that we're giving money to Ukraine. I understand why you support it because of Israel. I understand that. Well, and of course, yeah. Democrats purposefully try to tie the two together, knowing that you're not going to get one without the other. I understand that completely. But I still don't like the fact that Ukraine is still getting money. And what is the money being used for? We were told, we're like 2 years into this, we were told when it started that it was going to end. We were told that Russia, they're at their ends and they can't move on any further. And their tanks, they're trapped in the mud, and that Putin is going to give up. He's going to commit suicide and this is going to happen to him.
And who
said this? Right. People are going against him. But who said this? The liberal media. They said the same thing about Trump. We cannot believe the liberal media. And again, it just brings me to my next point that I have been saying over and over again, and I will keep saying it. The media in its current form needs to be shut down because it is not a free press. It is a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. It is not a free press. We have to admit this. And see, they're able to get away with this because no one will call them out. But here on After Dark, on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, I am going to call them out. Washington Post, the New York Times, fake news CNN, PMSNBC, it is not news. It is propaganda. All of them are propagandists. We have to admit this. And that is the reason why Hamas is getting away with murder here in America. That is a reason why they are threatening American citizens, because the Department of Justice is giving them cover. They're trying to destroy democracy, and they are succeeding. People don't see it. We just got to throw away all the stuff that we used to believe that, oh, we got to play fair, because no, they're not playing fair. We had Hillary Clinton to come out the other day to say, because they're fearful that Trump could very well win this election, and rightfully so. So now she's saying, well, you know, Trump is saying that he's going to come after all of his enemies, his adversaries. You even had the media saying, well, you know what Trump is going to do? He's going to come after us. See, they're trying to change the narrative. No, Trump isn't coming after you. He's going to make certain that you're held accountable. He's going to make certain that the Biden administration that weaponized the Department of Justice to go after American citizens and not go after illegal aliens, but allow them to come across our borders illegally, he's going to make certain that that group is held accountable. And if it means throwing them in jail, I don't care how old Biden is, I don't care if he's on his deathbed, send him to jail. He doesn't deserve white man privilege, because if he doesn't go to jail, that's white privilege. plain and simple, just like Hunter Biden. And I've spoken about this before, and the media will not call it out. And being a Black man, it angers me when they're telling other Black men and Black women about white privilege and that Trump's children have white privilege, when you see Hunter Biden, who is a felon, have a gun and lie about it, and he's not in jail. Wake up, Black
man. Yeah, he's almost enough to make me believe in white privilege. Hunter,
well, he's demonstrating white privilege.
I don't generally believe in it.
Well, believe it.
Yeah, maybe
because
it's
here
real.
It is. For Democrats,
yeah,
it's real.
For these Democrats, like, yes, the Kennedys, what about all that?
Kennedys.
I mean, I'm
not
talking
about
RFK.
Oh, my God.
My favorite Kennedy, but, you know, what about Teddy and the nephew and all the ones accused of rape and the Chappaquiddick? And, I mean, that, you know, it's true. I don't think it's true that every white person walking around has all this endless privilege, but I think some of these dynastic families, they
do. If you're a Democrat,
yeah,
if you're a Democrat with the right connections, you are entitled, you would expect white privilege. Look at Joe Biden. Look at Joe Biden's daughter, the diaries that were found. The FBI went out on a mission to secure those documents, to hide them. Why? Had this been something that Trump had done? Oh, we would be reading all about it. And this is what the Democrats, this is what the media is afraid of. And that is a reason why they're spinning this narrative now that Trump, he's going to go after his adversaries because they want to put that into the American people's ears and their minds so that when Trump does come to office and he wants to hold them accountable, the media will say, oh, you're just coming after us because we're telling the truth. No, you were lying. Rachel Maddow, I want her in chains. I want her indicted. Joy Reid, I want her in chains. I want her indicted. Joe Scarborough.
Oh, I don't know if I.
I want them all. But see, that's the problem, Heather, because we don't have the stomach for it. We don't want to hold them accountable. But Heather, if the tables were turned, they would hold us accountable. And they wouldn't even think about it. Look at what they're doing to Trump. Trump was the 45th president of the United States. Trump has done nothing wrong. Legal scholars have said it. Now, we can mince around with words. We can say it doesn't look good. But to try and throw him in jail simply because he wants to make America great again, and then when it's time to hold them accountable, we can't do it. Oh, well, it doesn't look right. It doesn't matter. We have to be held accountable so that this will never, ever, ever happen again. Dr. Fracci has become a multimillionaire off of the lie he told, and now he's trying to backtrack and say, well, I didn't say this. Well, we went with the data that we had. Well, buddy, you wrote it in your book, okay? Your book is a self-indictment. Throw that old man in jail. They have destroyed many people's lives. Let's just be honest here. They have destroyed lives. They've destroyed part of the fabric of our culture, of our society, because of the great lie. Now, you mentioned George Floyd. You were saying, you know, what happened? I get it, okay? What happened to him was wrong. But to make him some figure so that people can destroy the country to create this whole DEI, which in itself is racism, was wrong.
Yeah.
He died. He was killed. Let me finish. He was killed. The police officer was tried. He went to jail. That's it. But to continue to drag him out, to make him some saint, which he isn't, he never will be, is wrong. To try to put him in the school books and public education is wrong. And that is the reason why we need to shut down public education, because they too are indoctrinating our children with Democrat talking points. This has to stop. The Democrats have too much control, okay? And they've gotten it deceptively. And until we call them out, and stop not having the stomach to call them out and say, no, what you did was wrong, and you have to be held accountable, it will continue to happen, Heather. Go ahead. I'm very passionate about this. I'm very passionate about
this.
And I'm tired of this.
My only point is I agree with you. My only point is just that even if George Floyd had been a saint, which he most decidedly was not, you're right, even if he had been a saint, it's still wrong to beat people up in the street and torch people's businesses and intimidate people because of the horrible murder of a saint. My point is just the larger point. I don't disagree with your overall point that to do violence in the name of justice and in the name of nonviolence is wrong. You know, the point isn't so much who George Floyd even was. I mean, you know, for anybody to die that way is wrong, okay? But even if George Floyd had been a saint, which he wasn't, I mean, that's like torturing people in the name of Jesus, who was a saint. I mean, that's also wrong. I mean, my point is just you don't achieve justice and fairness and reform by destruction and doing violence to anybody.
Yet that's what the Democrats are doing to Trump right now as we speak with this trial, the sham of a trial that's taking place in Lower Manhattan, and they want everyone to believe that they are above the law and that they're, no, not above, but they're upholding the law and making certain that a jury that is not of his peers from a Democrat city, 87% voted for Joe Biden, will give him justice. Maybe they will. I doubt it. I hope and pray that they will. But if they don't, people need to stand up and to call this out because it is wrong. This all has the designs for him, for Joe, to win the election, and that is it. And the Democrats know it. And that is the reason why they rushed through the jury selection. They didn't want anything to stop them. They didn't want the defense to have a chance to even really thoroughly look into the backgrounds of a lot of these jurors. And then the judge said, oh, you only get 12 strikes and that's it. Once you got that, we don't care. We're just going to seat the jurors because they want to rush this trial to get a guilty verdict, which is what they're hoping for, so that the news media can come out and say, he's guilty. He's a convicted felon. Never mind the fact that this could possibly be overthrown on an appeal. They don't care. Because they will always lead with, he's a convicted felon. That is it. The Democrats are destroying democracy. The Democrats are destroying our way of life. The Democrats, everything that they touch, they destroy. They have to be held accountable. They must be held accountable. And we Republicans and independents and like-minded Democrats must stand up and demand that our justice system be held accountable so that they will hold them accountable. Because if we don't do it, we don't have a democracy, and we should just shut the whole thing down and say, do whatever the hell you want to do, because it does not matter. Folks, we're all out of time. I have enjoyed the show tonight. I have enjoyed my co-host, Heather Robinson of the New York Post. She will come back, and I will be back, so that we can continue bringing to you our unvarnished analysis of current events. You've been listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. We hope you will join us again tomorrow night. And as my dear friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. God bless America and God bless Israel. Thank you.